Hello everyone, welcome to the Aquarian Mind Podcast. Today is podcast episode number 6. I'm your host, Jamel Crothers. It's Book Insight Friday. And today, I'm finally going to start discussing my books and what I've, you know, been working on for the past 5 years. So, today it's only fitting that I discuss the first book that I've ever written. And it's called The Struggles and Growth of a Man. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all other major bookstores. When I started to write this book, it really wasn't supposed to be a series. The goal was to, you know, just write one book, it'd be a standalone, and then that would be it. And then I read this article about how authors garner more readers through writing books and series. So when I learned of that, I started researching other authors who write series. And after, you know, doing, you know, my research and, you know, looking at how authors have, you know, written long series of like 10 books, 12 books, things of that nature, I decided, well, I don't want to write series that long because then it drags it and then, you know, you kind of lose the substance of it. So I decided, you know what, I would write book series of like 5 books max. Now, where I'm at now, you know, it's a whole different story. I'm writing larger series, but there's reasonings behind that. But anyway, so I decided to make this a series. And it was honestly after I had published The Struggles and Growth of a Man, Code Blue, An Ode to the Badge and Gun Part 1, and The World We Live In Part 1. All of these, in a nutshell, were, you know, the intentions were to have them as standalone books. So after those three were published, I decided, okay, I'm going to write all of these books as series. But I knew that I had to write each series, you know, in its entirety before I moved on to the next. So I knew that I was going to write The Struggles and Growth of a Man series, finish that, then move on to Code Blue, then move on to The World We Live In. I knew that that would be the only way I would be able to write all the content the way I wanted it, and to get the messages across in each book in this series. So, the main character, Robert, he's the main character in the book, book series. I knew that he was going to have some characteristics and personality traits of me and, you know, the way I think a little bit. So I wanted to bring him out through me and through, you know, my voice. And to address the social stigmas that we as men face in today's world. So when I discuss that in part one of this series, it's my voice speaking through the observations of the world and all the little things that, you know, we face, the nuances of, you know, dealing with, you know, expectations of us as men that we have to be strong and, you know, we have to internalize our feelings and, you know, therapy isn't, you know, a great thing to do, you know, as men and things of that nature. So it's the little things that most of you guys would never know about, you know, the book series. But I felt like it was my obligation to share, you know, those little tidbits about me and writing my first book. I really wanted to, you know, speak on a lot of the things that we as men don't talk about, you know, to other men, you know, in, you know, a broader environment. And I was able to do that last year, honestly. It was the beginning of last year, I would say February of 2020. Yeah, I would say around that time I had went to a get together, sit down through this small little organization called Black Men Feel. And, you know, it was a lot of, you know, us Black and Latino men sitting at a big table and, you know, talking about experiences and things that we've dealt with in our lives, the struggles that, you know, we go through, you know, as men living, you know, in a world that expects us to be a certain way, act a certain way, conduct ourselves a certain way, carry ourselves a certain way. And it was very enlightening. It was very fulfilling. I would say that I learned a lot about, you know, other men and what they feel and what they go through. I know for me, and a good friend of mine that, you know, I've known since I was 8 years old, I know he's doing a lot on his end to change the narrative of Black men and, you know, what we deal with and what we go through and getting the necessary help that we need to get to where we want to be in life. I will say openly and honestly that I have gone through some necessary steps last year during the summer to, you know, get some online therapy help through, you know, things that I was dealing with and going through in my life. And it was, I think, the best 2 months and in the best 8 weeks of my life where I was able to, you know, fully, you know, immerse myself in learning about myself and who I am. So, to get back to the struggles and growth of a man, part one, the honest truth of life is that the world has a plethora of stigmas that, you know, not only that women go through, but we as men go through. And I wanted to put out in the open, you know, that a lot of these stigmas aren't true. And I wanted Robert to be that character that learns that it's not all true. I wanted to write something that would resonate with not just men in today's world, but also, you know, young women who are mothers, and, you know, may have young boys that are growing into adults who need guidance. You know, I know that we as men need to do better in this world for sure. And, you know, there are a lot of great fathers for sure that I know that are great father figures, and I commend them for everything that, you know, they do for their children. And even some of them have taken on, you know, a child from a previous relationship that, you know, his significant other may have. And that's a beautiful thing also. There aren't a lot of books that are written like this in this series. So I felt like writing this first book was the stepping stone and the start to, you know, putting Robert on the forefront. You know, Robert's just a regular guy, just like any other man in the world, who deals with the daily struggles of life. And, you know, he obviously has a backstory, you know, to it. You know, there were some components that I needed to add to this story, such as, you know, his life story, his mother, his brother, Michael, who will be in the series as time goes along, and then his mentor and father figure, Mr. Marble, who you will learn about very early on in the beginning of that book. When I was crafting the backstory of his life, I had to make sure that it was believable to, you know, everyone and who would be reading it. Now, you know, if a man is reading it, I want Robert's life to resonate with them in some sort of way. Now, if the reader, you know, is a woman, I want her to feel Robert and understand him. And, you know, I do want men to understand, you know, and feel also. But, you know, Robert's just a young guy in his 20s who's trying to find himself and figure out his life, you know, without having really any major guidance. But he did get some guidance from Mr. Marble, and he's someone that will be very important to Robert, you know, in part one, because Robert did not have a father figure in his life, unfortunately. And I feel like, you know, part one was really good to where I felt like, you know, I was going to be able to really bring out some storylines to Robert's life. And I think that was a very, very, very good thing. When I started, you know, this writing journey, I had no website, no social media presence. I had a very terrible book cover in the beginning of it. So I changed book covers like 3 times. So the book cover that you will see is not the first one. It's the third one. My book was an oversized book. It was 8x11. Until I eventually had to reformat it to make it a 6x9, which is the average size of a book. So there's a lot of things that I went through with this whole process. And, you know, to be honest, you know, for my first book, it really felt good to write it. And when I published it, it really felt surreal, you know. And, you know, in the moment when you first publish it, it's like, oh, wow, you know, I published, you know, my first book, and it was fulfilling. And the fact that I self-published it, and, you know, I went through the process and, you know, things of that nature, it was like, oh, wow, you know, this is cool. But then that moment hits where it's like, oh, wait a minute. Wait, my books are available to everyone around the world, like in Europe, in South America, in Asia, and, you know, in Africa. And it's just like, whoa. And that's when, you know, reality really sets in. And that's when you fully understand and grasp that you have really done something huge and major. It was bigger than me graduating high school. It was bigger than me, you know, graduating college. You know, it was huge. And that's when I finally, you know, understood what was, you know, in front of me. And I knew that this was really going to turn into a serious writing journey for me. I just didn't think that I would write as many books as I have in such a short amount of time, but I'm thankful and I'm blessed that I have been able to write as many books as I have. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a little bit of, you know, my book and what I've written. And do keep in mind that my books are not the traditional books that you would read. They're written in a prose format, so the story is, you know, different than what you would read. So I'm going to share the first chapter. It's called Growing Up. I didn't grow up the way I should have. Technology has controlled every aspect of me. Television taught me so much because mom wasn't around. Video games drained my brain cells and have made me lazy. I was once athletic and loved sports, but depression took over and I no longer put effort into it. My mom had me when she was young with an older man, a teenage mom with a father in his 20s drug dealing. I didn't have much of role models, to be honest, but that's another story for another time. I don't care to go outside most days and chill with friends. Growing up into a man so early wasn't part of my plans. Here I am in my 20s, living with my mom still. Somehow we are still in this apartment. I used to wonder how. My mom has aged a lot because of the drug addiction she's had. Hoping and praying she makes it through a lot of nights. I surely don't want to wake up and she overdosed. By the graces of hope and faith, she'll eventually get it together. I had toys as a kid. I didn't play with them. I cared about what was on my television instead of my toys. Too busy watching music videos and watching movies I shouldn't have seen, walking out of my door into a cold world, making adult decisions at age 7. My childhood went goodbye when my dad left. My mom became depressed. It was me and my little brother fighting to survive from day to day. Some days I can go to my grandmother's house to eat food and get a warm bed to sleep on for the night. She was really aging herself in her 80s as she had a lot of kids. I have a few aunts and uncles who are spread out around the state. I'd surely do anything to have my childhood all over again. Too many bad memories. My innocence was lost when police sirens showed up to my building one night. The sound of gunshots rang through my hallway staircase. A drug deal gone wrong. My homie died over money owed to someone. I knew who it was and who shot my homie, but there was neighborhood code. Don't cooperate with the police. Snitches get stitches. Sad mentality. The police were here to solve a crime, and here I was, a teenager scared as hell of the repercussions if I opened my mouth and talked. Life in the ghetto. Don't know how to deal with it. It takes a toll. Going to school and taking care of my and protecting my little brother. He eventually made decisions on his own and ended up in the streets. Incarceration or death waited for him, and now he's doing a few years in prison. The feds are watching him, so he's far away in the middle of nowhere doing time. No time to drive or take a flight to go see him, so he gets letters. I couldn't write well for a long time. I speak with a lisp, and I was illiterate. I had to learn a lot of things on my own, or have friends teach me. Teachers pass me in school after so long, just so they can make their numbers and keep their jobs for next year. Growing up, nope, didn't get to do that really. So parents, do what you're supposed to and be there for your kids. I love my mom to death, but she really wasn't there. I'm her only son now. Depression has deteriorated her mind, body, and soul. She was once a sex symbol in the neighborhood and had a modeling career ahead. Life took a toll on her all these years, and her skin has diminished off of her face. I find happiness in eating junk food, watching television, and playing video games. I never ended up on drugs. I guess seeing my mom on it, I couldn't bear doing it myself. Growing up was hard for me. I somehow made it to where I am, trying to get my life together. It's a battle, one day at a time. With a GED in my hand, now I need to figure out what to do with myself. I guess might get my penmanship better and hopefully apply for a college. I long for my toys that I used to have that I trashed as a kid because I cared for unnecessary things such as clothes and sneakers. I did my selling of drugs in the neighborhood at age 13. I'd sneak out at night for a few hours when my brother was asleep and my mom high. No one knew I was gone. My brother slept through the night. My mom was too high off of heroin or coke to even know I was gone. Don't get me started with family members. All of my uncles were in the drug trade. My aunts were too busy pushing out babies from fake thugs who got shot up in a raid. My aunts are now washed up older women who live with plenty of regrets, as they have shitty jobs living day to day watching reality TV and doing twerk videos. My family members are all dysfunctional with a bunch of personal problems, living with inner demons inside of their souls, lost in a cloud of years of drug intake. Rehab has helped a lot of them, but the withdrawals kill them, which happened to my mom, and I hope I never have to bury her this young. Environments truly shape who you are and what you can be, but if you want to break the cycle, it can be done, and it'll start with me. I have little cousins who are barely making it at this point. They grew up like me, but I'm trying to help them make it. Making it isn't me being rich, which is what I thought was making it. It's a sad reality of what society says is making it. My mind has been jaded full of idiotic thoughts for years. At least I learned that I was thinking wrong. Certain people taught me the right way. Now I'm sitting here improving my life and writing my story. But this all took time to start releasing all of what's in my heart and mind. I'm a struggling man born in a tough environment, trying to teach and tell others that life is surely what you make it. You are trying to figure out my race as I write this right now, but worry about the story and where this is taking you. You can make me whatever race you want me to be, but I want you all to understand that this is about human struggles in life. We are all perfectly imperfect human beings, and I want you to all see this is about humanity, bettering ourselves and opening our eyes to daily struggle. My friends in school never really knew all the battles I went through. This is why we all need to be a little more kind to each other. We all have pressures of our own that we fight and go through, and enough insecurities to force us to rebel a lot of times. My family loves me, but I question that a lot of times. I honestly don't think they even love themselves. I've never seen my aunts and uncles hug each other or even my grandparents. They'll ask me about my dad's parents because I don't know them much. Vivid memories of them as a little baby, my mom would have to tell me. I never asked my dad when he left us. It was just what it was. Crazy because I never wondered where he was or if he was coming home until I got older and saw him back in my neck of the woods. I knew he was my dad because I was a spitting image of him. It was crazy genetic-wise, but I really didn't have much to say to him. I wanted and needed him as a father. I called him dad, or even sperm donor for good measure, since he wasn't around. I'd kill to rewind time and relive my childhood the way it should be, parents don't understand how much being there for a child means to them. I didn't really have my mother's love. Her saying I love you meant nothing, especially since she never hugged or kissed me, but hugged the hell out of a needle. She hugged that bag of cocaine and her nose loved it, going straight through her nostrils after her mouth was filled with sexual juices. I knew what the deal was. I learned things quickly. Parents, do what you can to protect your children. I wish I didn't have a care in the world as a child, but I had to care about everyone around me, but no one for me. My childhood is tattooed all over my body, ink of where I come from, where I've been, and what I want to be. Memories and reminders to break the cycle of pain and be the man that I should be in this cold world. This poetry is a way to release the anger and pain, because telling a drug addicted mother and selfish family members won't help. Wondering if therapy will help calm my soul of all the anguish. Thinking that maybe it will, since I can't maintain relationships with women. More interpersonal issues that stem from my childhood. Too many things I wasn't told that I learned on my own. Feeling guilty if I decide to be selfish and get on with my life. Right now trying to figure out what job I want to apply for the time being. Just an inner city kid trying to make it and give back to society. I can't change the past or get back what I lost. These experiences have allowed me to grow and make me stronger. Parents, whatever you're going through, be there for your kids. They will always need you, no matter what. Spend time with them. Quality time, not the television. Limit their television and video game time. Take them places. Let them see the world for what it is. Teach them the morals and values needed to make it in life. Love them unconditionally through thick and thin. When kids fail, or when they fall, they will always need a hand to pick them up. These are the things I wish that I had as a kid. Let your kids be children. They only get one childhood. So that's like the chapter. That's chapter one to start the book. So hopefully you guys enjoy listening to that. But, you know, sorry it was a little long. But, you know, it's kind of how I do my chapters a little bit sometimes. So that's pretty much, The Struggles and Growth of Man, part one. Book Insight next week will be part two and the rest of the series. And then I'll move on to other book series that I've written and worked on. As I said, Struggles and Growth of a Man are, the book is available on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, Kobo, and a couple of other bookstores. The audiobook is available on my website. You go onto my website, click the audiobooks. It'll take you to the site where you can get at least part one of the series in the audiobook format. I will be working on a lot of audiobooks this year and getting myself going with that again. So stay tuned for that. And that is the Book Insight Friday for today. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to that. Definitely, if you want to read that book series, definitely check it out. And I hope you guys will. So, with that said, I'm out of here. Next week will be more of what's going on in Mello's mind, more motivation, inspiration, and more book insight. So, be good, everyone, and go accomplish your goals.